Good morning and welcome into Locked On Patriots for Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair for your Tuesday edition of your favorite Patriots podcast. Okay, well, one of your favorite Patriots podcasts. How about that? Let's put it that way because there are a lot of great ones out there. But I happen to like this one because, of course, I'm biased. It's my podcast. So that being said, reminder to check out the work on InsideThePylon.com, ProFootballWeekly.com, LockedOnPatriots.com. Again, I'm the head writer over at Inside the Pylon. We're doing some great stuff over there at ITP right now. We're going to be rolling out an ITP Patriots draft guide, recapping our scouting profiles of all the Patriots selections. So you want to check that out over at ITPDraftGuide.com as well. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield, doing some video work up there over the summer. You might have seen the video I did on Tom Brady's process and speed. You can check that out. Again, on my Twitter feed at Mark Schofield. Couple of things on tap today. Football and film will roll on. We're going to talk about the water boy. Because, look, we talked undefeated yesterday. I hope you heard that episode. A little bit of a more serious documentary flavor to yesterday's football and film segment. So I wanted to kind of do something a little bit more lighthearted. We're going to talk a little bit of comedy with Adam Sandler. We're going to talk play number one of the Patriots' top 10 offensive plays of the 2017 season, as chosen by yours truly. But first, voluntary OTA time. That got underway Monday at Gillette. And the big story, Tom Brady not present for voluntary OTAs, which, as you might imagine, as you might have seen, as you might have read, listened to, watched, etc., 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 it fired off hot take season. So I just wanted to hear at the outset, kind of get myself on the record for how I feel about the fact that Tom Brady is not present. And let me put it to you this way. We've talked a lot about movies here in this off-season period. We're counting down, not really counting down, but we're working through a list of 20 football films. And you guys, hopefully at the end, you've been listening, you've been paying attention, you've been watching these movies. We're going to rank the top 20 football movies as decided by Locked On Patriots listeners, which I think is a fun little summer exercise because what else are we going to talk about? Apparently, we should be talking about this. And so I thought it was fitting to relate this to a scene from a different sports movie. I actually watched a little bit of it this past weekend because this is one of those movies, if it's on, I am stopping what I'm doing and I'm watching it. And it drives my wife crazy because I don't think she likes it at all. It's one of those movies that was arguably a much better book, although I think it translates very well to how they did it in the movie. And that's For Love of the Game, the baseball movie starring Kevin Costner as an aging pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. And there's a scene relatively early in the movie where he's late for his pregame bullpen session. And J.K. Simmons, who's a Detroit Tigers fan in real life, playing the manager of the Tigers, sort of confronts him saying that, you know, I didn't know where you were. I was about ready to have somebody else warm up. And Costner, Billy Chappell, the pitcher, is played by Kevin Costner, turns to him, basically says, in all my years here, have I ever not shown up? And that's kind of where I am with this. In all of Tom Brady's years, has he ever not shown up when it really counts? Now, you might say, look, this is the first time he's not showing up. Look, he himself has said it before. It all matters. Voluntary OTAs, voluntary minicamps, all the other stuff that you can do. And this is the first time that he's not showing up, that there's clearly a signal. And, you know, Mike Freeman, smart football mind over Bleacher Report, basically said, you know, it doesn't matter. Brady will be playing. But if you don't think he's not sending a signal, then you're missing it here. And that might be true. Similar to the Gronkowski stuff, Brady might be saying, I want one more restructured deal before all is said and done. And that's fine. But if you've taken away anything from listening to Locked On Patriots over the past almost year now, we are approaching the 1 year mark on this show. You know that what happens between the lines on Sundays and Monday nights is the stuff that I really care about the most. That's the stuff that I think is worth talking about. All the sort of extraneous, off the field types of discussions, I don't like to get bogged down in them because, let's face it, none of us, I'm not in the room. I'm not sitting down with these guys one-on-one, getting into their minds. There are places you can go to listen to for that kind of stuff. I'm more concerned with the on-the-field stuff because I think that's the real stuff that's important, that's worth talking about, that we can really sort of discuss and go through and break down. And that's the stuff we all live for on Sunday afternoons. Brady will be there come week one. Brady will be there when the mandatory stuff happens. Of that, I have no doubt. So the fact that he's not here right now, I'm more inclined to lead towards the, okay, fine, look around the league right now. Julio Jones not showing up for minicamp. Aaron Donald not showing up for OTAs. It happens. It's a business. And players are starting to realize that there are some things that they can do where they can sort of change the conversation and hold the cards and play the cards that they have. And one of them is, okay, this is voluntary, but I want a new deal. It's voluntary. I'll see you when the mandatory stuff happens. And we might not like it. We might not appreciate it. When we see it from Tom Brady, who time and time again has said that all of the stuff like this matters, we might wonder why. We might question it. It might frustrate us. It might give us, in other shows, lots of stuff to talk about here on May 22nd as we approach Memorial Day weekend, when the only other thing that really should be on our minds, other than obviously our work and daily obligations, is what we're cooking over Memorial Day weekend at our cookouts and our barbecues, because it's summertime, friends, okay? So this, I can understand why people are going to talk about it. I can understand why people are frustrated about it. When is he never not showing up? This might be the first time, but again, it's a voluntary thing. If he starts talking about holding out, then we can revisit this. But right now, sitting here on May 22nd, I'm not going to get that worked up about it. I say after devoting the opening segment of my daily podcast to it. But, okay, then now, we're done, okay? It's fine. Now, it is, shall we say, emblematic. I use that word a lot too, I know. Of the overall relative state of unease that exists right now in Patriots Nation. And I get that. Gronkowski's grumbling. Brady's grumbling. Amendola's on his way out of town. Butler's gone. They just lost a Super Bowl. I get that this fits in with the overall state of uncertainty. But again, remember that it's May 22nd. If we still feel this way in July, if we still have these issues in July, then we can really start to panic. But right now is not the time to panic. Will it become fodder for stories now? Yes. Will it become fodder for stories if they start 0-1 or 0-2? You bet. But we're not there yet. So it's not time to panic. Up next, two more segments. As you know, we're going to talk our number one play of the Patriots offensive production and output from the 2017 season, as well as a little bit later, Football and Film will continue with a look at the Waterboy, a little bit of a lighthearted film coming off our deep sort of discussion of Undefeated. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Patriots, and having put the badness of the Brady OTA stuff behind us, we can now sort of look ahead, or well, look back, I guess, because it is time to finalize and cap off our countdown of the top 10 offensive plays of the Patriots 2017 season. And by means of a recap, let's look back at the first 9 plays or moments that we broke down. If you haven't listened to those episodes, you can go back and listen to those or listen to those segments if you would be so inclined to do so. While I'm at it, might as well throw out, remember, if you can, leave a review on iTunes of the podcast, even if you get it from other means. Leave reviews wherever you can. Got some great reviews up there right now, but haven't gotten any in a while. It'd be great to get some new reviews up there. Keep the podcast fresh. Keep it rolling over the summer. A lot of other pods, they shut down. We're going to keep rolling. Maybe take a little bit of time off here and there, but football is a 365, 52-week kind of deal, my friends. That's what I signed up for, and that's what you signed up for as a fan when you start following a team. So I'm going to keep rolling. Hopefully you guys can drop some some ratings and reviews over at iTunes. 5-star ratings only. Okay, well, there's a 4-star rating up there, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with that. If you got bad stuff to say, then hit me in the DMs on Twitter. How about that? That's my our little deal, okay? But I digress. Let's revisit. The first nine plays 10 through 2. Here we go. Play 10. Touchdown pass from Tom Brady to James White in that Sunday night game against the Atlanta Falcons. Little red zone play. Play number 9. Similarly, Tom Brady to Chris Hogan on the Thursday nighter against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Play number 8. Brady to Gronkowski in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 52, giving the Patriots their first and a short-lived lead in Super Bowl 52. Patriots taking a 33-32 lead in that game on that play. Play number 7, Brady to Gronkowski again. Somewhat of a theme on this countdown. This one coming against the Jets. Their first meeting on a 3rd-and-11 in the third quarter in a game that was tied 14-14 at a moment in the season when the Jets and, yes, the Patriots were tied for first place in the AFC East with matching 3-2 records. Play number 6, Brady to Hogan in the red zone. A 3rd-and-goal play against Tennessee in the divisional round game. That Sunday night divisional round game gave the Patriots a 14-7 lead. Excuse me, it extended the Patriots' lead from 14-7 to 21-7 late in the second quarter. Brady's 21st postseason game with a touchdown pass, or multiple touchdown passes. Play 5, Brady to Brandon Cooks, that deep ball against the Oakland Raiders down at Stadium Azteca in Mexico City, a sort of double move route that we talked about. Play number 4, Brady to none other than Robert Gronkowski against Buffalo in Week 16, that one-handed catch in a game that had sort of other off-the-field issues as well, with the discussions about whether Robert Gronkowski would face any retaliation for his hit on Tre'Davious White. Play number 3, Brady to Brandon Cooks against the Houston Texans back in Week 3, that last-second vertical route against a cover-2 look along the boundary, along the sideline, in the end zone, the toe tap. Just a fantastic, fantastic play, and another fantastic drive from Tom Brady. And speaking of drives, as we covered yesterday, play or plays 2, the Gronkowski drive against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 15 on a 77-yard drive where Robert Gronkowski accounted for, yes, 69 of the 77 yards. A very, very nice drive. And that brings us to play number 1. And I do a little drum roll, but is there really any doubt? Is there really any other option? Was there really any other choice than this moment that put the Patriots finally in position to get to Super Bowl 52?
Fake it to White. Looking around. Has time. Throws it. Can he get the feet down? What an effort. Touchdown, Amendola.
Let's see if he does it. High ball back in the end zone. How you're supposed to throw it there, so it's protected. Left, right foot, left foot ball. That's a touchdown, Jim. New England has the lead and a shot at heading to the Super Bowl.
Amazing effort, no doubt, by Brady to drive him again. But Amendola, to get that second foot down.
Jim Nantz, Tony Romo there on the call for CBS. And yes, that's the touchdown pass from Tom Brady to Danny Amendola, giving the Patriots the lead late in the AFC Championship game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a game the Patriots would ultimately go on and win, advancing to Super Bowl 52. That play is number 1 for a number of reasons. It's the biggest play of the year, biggest moment of the year. But it also exemplifies the greatness of Tom Brady, the greatness of the Patriots over these years, because you have Danny Amendola who, you know, we talked to Nora Princiotti about his usage, you know, during Super Bowl week. And she talked about how he had basically been on a pitch count. And then he comes out and has two tremendous playoff games to get the Patriots to Super Bowl 52, both against the Titans and, of course, the Jaguars. We see Tom Brady lead another drive, lead another comeback, make another play late in the play clock of the play itself. You know, you heard Jim Nantz there. He was looking around, pockets collapsing around him, climbs the pocket, moves around, finds a receiver late, and as Romo said, puts that throw exactly where you're supposed to throw that ball on that route in that moment. It's perfect, or as close as you can get to being perfect from a quarterback, and he's still doing it. So to sort of square the circle on this show, that's why I'm not worried. because he still does it. He's still doing it. And for those that question whether he was, you know, falling off a cliff or losing his velocity or whatever phrase we heard over the past 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, whatever years about Tom Brady. Nah, still doing it. He's the best. You can, I will hear arguments for other quarterbacks and that's fine. But in my mind, it's him. And then it's everybody else fighting for spots on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. We've been lucky to watch it. We've been blessed to have the ability to just watch him play. And the day will come when he's no longer the quarterback of the New England Patriots. We have to accept that as Pats fans. Until then, enjoy the remaining moments that we have. Up next, we're going to talk the Waterboy just for a few minutes here. A little lighthearted look at more of a comedy. Just a fun movie. It's another movie that if it's on a Saturday afternoon and you've got nothing else to do, you'll keep it on. I know I do. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.
Bobby? Water sucks. Gatorade is better.
What?
Use it on the field. Gatorade not only quenches your thirst better, it tastes better too, idiot.
You're drinking the wrong water.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks.
No,
it really, really sucks.
You don't mean
it.
You're bad people.
Mark Schofield back with you, and I'll close out this episode of Locked On Patriots talking about The Waterboy, the 1998 movie starring Adam Sandler, Kathy Bates, and a host of others, including Henry Winkler, some cameos as well, Lynn Swan, Dan Fouts, Brett Musburger, Lawrence Taylor. The movie tells the story about Bobby Boucher, a 31-year-old man living with his mom down in the bayou, serving as the water boy for the University of Louisiana. And his appreciation for water stems from a belief that his father died of dehydration while serving in the Peace Corps. Bobby's fired from his job as the water boy at the University of Louisiana. He then tries to find a similar position with South Central Louisiana State, a school that has a football program that is struggling, a head coach, Henry Winkler, who has basically lost his nerve. And at a moment at the beginning of the film, he's being made fun of again. Bobby Boucher finally snaps, sacks the quarterback during practice. Coach Klein, played by Henry Winkler, sees that, wants to channel it, turns him into a football player, and the movie goes from there. It's got some funny, hilarious moments. The football scenes themselves are actually pretty good, I'd say. There's a touching moment. They make it to the Bourbon Bowl, and because of his mom's sort of overprotective nature, she puts herself into fakes a coma, basically, so Bobby wouldn't play. At halftime of the game, though, she convinces Bobby to go back. Bobby goes back to the Bourbon Bowl where they're playing, of course, the University of Louisiana, and they end up winning it 30-27. Bobby's named the MVP. He scores sort of on a trick play. He throws a touchdown pass to win the game for the Mud Dogs. It's a silly movie. Most Adam Sandler movies tend to be, you know, obviously of the humorous nature. Let me tell you, as somebody that was playing college football in 1999 who was wearing the number 9, there's a part of me that hates this movie, because it made for some pretty easy nicknames for me at that moment. As a matter of fact, my mom actually pointed it out too. She was one of the first. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that one. But, it, you know, as far as comedy sports movies go, it's a pretty good one. And, you know, I think that, as I said earlier, if it's on a Saturday afternoon and there's nothing else going on, yeah, you know, you'll put it on. You know, people talk about the medulla oblongata scene. That's a pretty funny scene, which was actually shot at Florida Southern College in Lakeland, Florida. The extras in the scene were students at the school. That must have been a fun experience for them. It's a lighthearted summer type movie. And if you got nothing else going on a Saturday afternoon or something this summer, throw it on. It's still good for a couple of laughs. And sometimes that's all you can ask for from a movie. That will do it for today's show. I will be back Wednesday. What we're going to do? I don't know. We're not going to talk about Tom Brady at the top. I know that. Maybe another quarterback to watch for the 2019 draft. Maybe some timeline takes. Maybe something else will pop. We'll start counting down our top 10 defensive plays of the Patriots 2017 season. And we'll have another installment of football in film, you know, taking you through some great football movies. I don't know where we're going to go next for football and film. We might do something more serious. We might do another comedy. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. See what I feel like doing when it's time to record. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.